the way, the development of the purport of text 1, and then we'll move on to text 2. Now, first, Krishna, in the purport after the verse saying the six pushings, the six vegans that have to be controlled, the purport opens by explaining that the tendency to sin within one is very deep, and simply by punishing one, that actually doesn't uproot the tendency to sin within the heart. So therefore, it practically doesn't stop one from sinning. So Prabhupada then explains that real atonement, if one takes atonement to be the removal of the sinning, which means practically removal of the sinning tendency, atonement actually means awakening Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness removes all sins, or the tendency to sin, and this is called kleshagni, the removing of all distresses, and distresses are caused by sins. So this is compared to the difference between prayaschitta and Krishna consciousness, and there are different abilities to remove sins, is compared to a forest fire going through the forest and burning all the leaves and the twigs of a creeper. So for some time, the creeper will not be there. It will appear as if it's gone. But before long, because the root hasn't been removed of the creeper, then it will start, green shoots will come up again, and it will start blossoming and spreading its leaves and roots around further. So similarly, Krishna consciousness is the method of removing the very root of the sinful desire. Removing the sinful desire down to the root. And there's no other way this can be done. So part of Krishna consciousness, or coming to the level of Krishna consciousness, is coming to the platform of real knowledge. And that comes, there are two ways to attain knowledge. There's a slow way, which is by following asanas and different fasts and this and that, and controlling the senses. And the quick way is through Krishna consciousness. And the basic fortune that allows to attain knowledge the quick way through Krishna consciousness is the association of a pure devotee. And what is that Krishna conscious way to attain knowledge, and what the Krishna conscious process, that is going to be described as Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udara Pasta Vegam, like that. Controlling these, Itan Vegam Yo Vishahit Diyada Savam Apimam Prativim Sushisha. So this is the Krishna conscious, or the elementary aspect of the Krishna conscious method of attaining knowledge, that all these different vegans are going to have to be used in Krishna service. So then one by one, this Vacho Vegam is described as not talking nonsense, but talking about Krishna, and not being silent, not giving up talking, not talking nonsense, but talking about Krishna. Manasa Vegan, that one should fix his mind on Krishna, always. Anger should only be used in the frame of reference of becoming angry at those who are inimical to the Lord. The urge of the tongue, that to eating, one should only eat prasadam. And the genitals should only be used to beget Krishna conscious children. Now, when one is practiced in controlling those six vegans and using them all in Krishna service, then one can become a spiritual master and make disciples all over the world. Then, a different side of these six Vegans are explained one by one, as they were explained the very positive side first in the purport, how to use them in Krishna service. Then, according to the Anuvritti explanation of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the urge of speech, the urge of mind, and the demands of the body. These are how these six Vegans are divided up. The urge to speak means that one shouldn't talk Mayavad philosophy. One shouldn't read or partake in writing mundane literatures. Rather, one should hear the literatures of Krishna consciousness based on Krishna, even if they are imperfectly composed. So by talking about Krishna continuously, that is the only way to stop nonsensical talk. Then the mind has to be controlled, otherwise there will be unlimited desires, karma, and attachments, and then because the attachments don't bring us happiness, then frustration follows, and then anger. So the mind can, which one should know that material desires for this reason only end in anger, from passion to ignorance, karma, asha, krodha, asha, and therefore there is no happiness and no good can come from attempts to satisfy one's material desires. The demands of the body are divided nonsensical talk. Then the mind has to be controlled, otherwise there will be unlimited desires, karma, and attachments, and then because the attachments don't bring us happiness, then frustration follows, and then anger. So the mind can, which one should know that material desires for this reason only end in anger, from passion to ignorance, karma, asha, krodha, asha, and therefore there is no happiness and no good can come from attempts to satisfy one's material desires. The demands of the body are divided into the tongue, belly, and genitals. And again, eating Krishna prasadam satisfies the tongue. One shouldn't just eat food in any of the three modes of material nature. One should eat simple prasadam. One should also not dress exquisitely so one becomes proud or attracts the attention of others. And one should fast according to the Shastra. The holy dates, this is called Madhavatiti Bhakati Janani. These days of Madhava, such as Ekadasi and Janmashtami, this is Bhakati Janani. They give birth to bhakti or devotion. And the genitals should only be used to beget Krishna conscious children again, and one should otherwise neglect them and not associate with women. So the conclusion given here is that we should be Go Swami, not Go Das. And one who has made a determined vow, who has decided to satisfy his material desires, he can never become Krishna conscious, not by his own endeavor. Matirna Krishna Parato, not by the instructions of others. Svato va, his own endeavor, or mityo, or by the combined joint meeting to decide. So as long as this griha vrata has been made to enjoy material life, one cannot become Krishna conscious. Therefore, these vegans have to be controlled with determination. So that's a basic summary of how Prabhupada develops this nice and important verse within the purport. Now in the next verse, text 2, while in the first verse the different pushings of the senses have been described to how to control them so that one could become Krishna conscious, in the second verse the hindrances to Krishna consciousness, becoming Krishna conscious, have been described. Now there are 6 of them. As there are 6 vegans that have to be controlled, there are 6 hindrances that have to be guarded against. They are atyahara, atiahara, overeating, or too much collecting. So either collecting in one form or another, in the form of putting it in one's belly, or preparing to put it in one's belly, or collecting too much money, or this or that. And that is the one we will discuss today. Prayasas, over-endeavoring. Prajalpa, everyone knows what prajalpa is. What is prajalpa?
Useless
talk. On and on and on. And niyamagraha means, niyamagraha means either practicing the scriptural rules and regulations for the sake of following them and not for the sake of spiritual advancement, or rejecting the rules and regulations and working independently or whimsically. Niyamagraha. So what does atyahara mean?
Overeating or too much collecting.
Right. Prayasas. Prayasas.
Over-endeavoring.
Over-endeavoring. Prayasas. Over-endeavoring. Prajalpa. Useless talk. Gramyakata. And niyamagraha. Okay, yeah. Rules and regulations, either following them too strictly, which generally that isn't most people's problem, but giving them up whimsically. And then jana sanghas. Sangha means association, and we know what sadhu sangha is. So jana means person, and in this sense it means ordinary people. Jana sanghas cha loyam. Loyam means being greedy for money, greed, loyam. Now there's a Krishna conscious loyam, which is very wonderful, attained at the state of bhav. But there is mundane loyam, which has to be given up. So loyam, I'll say the Sanskrit, and everyone think of the English. And then I'll say the English, and I'll call on everyone for the Sanskrit. Okay? Loyam. Jana sanghas. Prajalpo, niyamagraha, prayasas, atyahara. And of course, shadbir, like the shad goswamis, 6 goswamis, these 6, bhakti, vinashyati. Vinashyati means destroy. These 6 destroy bhakti. By these 6, bhakti is destroyed. Okay, so what is, without looking, ordinary association of common materialistic people that has to be given up? Okay, what is over-endeavoring?
Prayasas.
What is over-endeavoring?
Prayasas.
Okay, and over-collecting? Palok?
Atyahara.
Atyahara. Over-endeavoring? Prayashash. Like praying, pray.
Oh, I thought you asked the same thing.
Yeah, I did. I was just trying to see if you were listening. Over endeavoring, prayashash. And greed, mundane greed. Loyam. That is low. To be greedy for mundane things is very low class.
Yeah,
that's
loba.
Huh? Loba. And okay, overeating, over collecting. That's a hara. When you overeat, it's a hara. Because your stomach feels very bad. It's a hara, it's an atyahara. Is my computer on? I'm hearing a computer noise.
Do you want me to switch it off, please?
Yeah, if it is.
Oh,
Is this
from the back? You know where?
Yeah.
Oops. Okay. Now turn it off over there then. Turn it off. It's off. Turn it off with the switch.
Yeah.
Turn it off at the wall outlet, please. Oh, it's this.
Yeah.
Oh well. Okay. Purport. Now, also, I'd like to take a few minutes just to show you what, give you an idea what mine notes look like. Now, who took notes like we were requested? I haven't gone over this with everyone, but it just, you end up with a study guide. Instead of reading someone else's study guide, by doing it this way, you end up with your own study guide on it, that something that you could really relate to and what you find is important. Now, who's taking the point-by-point notes? Raise your hand so I can see. Yeah, good, that's everyone. Now, just to give you an idea of what I have, so not that these are the absolute notes, but this is what I had for section A. I have the three potencies, antaranga shakti, which is the internal, bahir shakti, external, bahiranga, and tatastha shakti, marginal. Tatastha, marginal, must be controlled by one of the other two. When tatastha shakti is controlled by internal, it displays devotional service. Duratma or mahatma, depending on which energy tatastha takes shelter of, becomes mahatma and gratifies Krishna's senses under internal, Radharani. Duratma, crippled-minded, gratifies anything else. When controlled by external, displays threefold miseries, adiatmic, one's own body, adidaivic, by demigods, adibhotic, others. The main miseries are birth, death, disease, and death. That was my simple notes for that, the point-by-point notes. Now, I'd like to hear your summary. Anyone like care to read their summary? Krishna Mahadev.
Unless the jivatmas take shelter of the internal energy of the Lord, antaranga shakti, by engaging devotional service of the Lord, they will be controlled by maya and forced to suffer the threefold miseries of this material world.
First, forced to serve the threefold miseries?
Forced to suffer.
Suffer, yes.
Threefold miseries.
Anyone else like to read theirs? You can do it. You read a summary? Why? Huh? Go on.
The living entity is the Lord's marginal energy. When he serves the internal energy, he takes on his natural happy self-identity as the Lord's servant. If he does not serve the internal energy, he must serve the external potency of the Lord, Maya. It cripples his way of thinking, it causes him to suffer the threefold miseries. The Lord has three main energies, and we, being the middle one, must serve either one. If we serve the internal, then we are Mahatmas, situated in our original position. If we serve the external, then we are Duratmas, only trying to satisfy ourselves and always subjected to three kinds of miseries.
Good. Very clear.
Cool. The jivas are influenced by either the internal or external potency of the Lord. Those who are influenced by the internal potency are called Mahatmas. Those who are influenced by the external are called Duratmas. And they are motivated by some material motive. When they take shelter of the external, they are subjected to the threefold miseries.
So, without going over this point by point, this section, I'd just like to make a few points. One is, these three energies, antaranga shakti, which means anta, means inner,
and Chitasta Shakti. In Hindi, the tat, it means the bank, not like the Chase Manhattan Bank or the First National City Bank or the State Bank of India, but it means the bank of a river. Now, is the bank of the river, is it part of the land or is it part of the water? That's the idea. It's marginal. Sometimes the river is over it, and sometimes sometimes it's covered by the water, and sometimes it's dry land. So tat, tatasta shakti, is the marginal energy of the Lord. And bahiranga is the external energy. So we say bahirana shringar, ridayana shringar. So that means bahir means outside, the shringa is there, ridaye, and also inside, within the heart. So bahir is the external energies of the Lord, and antaranga shakti, or the internal energies of the Lord. And this tiny, insignificant jiva soul, jivatma, must be controlled and must render service. There is no avoiding it, whether we like it or not. And the trick for the jiva soul is to give up that spirit that I am the enjoyer. Because that spirit that I am the enjoyer, that ahankar, or false ego, forces us to take shelter of the external, or maya shakti, or bahiranga shakti. These are also called jiva shakti, maya shakti, and chit shakti. Chit shakti being the internal energy of the Lord. Or sometimes the swarup shakti, the internal energy of the Lord. Now, the jiva soul in the material world is under the illusion that he's an enjoyer. And he is only, by definition, a servant. So to enjoy in the material world, because he is a servant of Krishna, he has to be in illusion. So therefore, he gets thrown down and covered over by Maya Shakti. And he's trying to enjoy those things produced by Maya's three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, ignorance. Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhunkte Prakriti Janiha Gunanam Karanam Guna Sangasya Sadasa Joni Janmasu. That the jiva soul who is thinking himself Purusha or male or enjoyer, Prakriti Stohi, certainly he's situated in the Prakriti or the material energy of the Lord. Bhunkte Prakriti Janiha, and he's trying to enjoy those things produced of the material energy. Because he wants to enjoy. He thinks he's not hankering to be the servant of the Lord. His heart is hard, not soft with affection for Krishna. Karanam guna sangasya. Karanam means cause. Because of his sangha with the gunas, because of his association with the gunas, sadasa joni janmasu, that he meets good and bad in so many different species of life, birth after birth after birth. So this is what happens when the jiva soul, due to his desire to enjoy, takes shelter of the bahiranga shakti or maya shakti, sadasa joni janmasu, or as Prabhupada explains it here, he takes he has to suffer the threefold miseries of adiatmic, adidaivic, and adibhautic. Now, adidaivic miseries, that's easy to remember, because daivi means heavenly, like that, or demigods, like that. So these are the miseries inflicted upon one that are by the higher forces. And what are the examples of these? What's an example?
Thunderstorm.
Thunderstorm also, right?
May and June in Vrindavan.
Yeah, it's so hot. Cyclones, yeah, hailstorms, thunder, lightning, being struck by lightning, excessive heat, no rain, too much rain, etc. So that's which one?
Adi Daivik.
Then, Adi Atmik and Adi Bhautik. Now, Bhautik, Atmik. Atma means the self. And Bhautik, though I remember it, is it's like bodies. Other bodies are causing it to you. Other people. Huh?
Bugs.
Mostly other people. And bugs, too. And the adiatmic, the miseries that one causes oneself, which is probably most of the miseries that one has, the mind, like that. So this is the result of taking shelter of the external energy, the jiva, the tatta shakti, when he becomes covered by the external energy. And when he becomes covered by the internal energy, he becomes a mahatma, when he takes shelter of that. And the nice verse that Prabhupada quotes from Bhagavad Gita, Mahatmanas tumam paratha daivim prakriti ashrita. Ashrita means shelter, and it takes shelter of the daivi prakriti, the nature, the spiritual nature. Vajant, and what is the result of that? What happens when he takes shelter of the internal energy, the spiritual nature? Vajanti means he worships ananya without deviation. Manaso, within his mind, yatva bhutitim avyam, knowing that I am inexhaustible and the Lord of all creatures, like that. So this is what it means to take shelter of the internal energy. So that's basically the first section. In a nutshell. Any questions about that?
I want to say what was struck.
Or comments. Yes.
In the Prabhupada says, Adilodhika, suffering caused by other living entities like insects or enemies. How he puts in one phrase to get insects, enemies.
Enemies and other insects?
Or just influencing your body or whatever. Insect or an enemy.
We think the enemy is the big problem and the insect just a little troublesome, but actually they're just being sent. And it's also interesting, in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, these three are described as the pinching of the material energy. So a non-devotee is always trying to stop these three from pinching him. He goes to a psychiatrist for his mind, he buys mosquito zappers to get rid of the mosquitoes, and people zappers to get rid of the people who are his enemies, and he's trying to control the material nature, ending droughts, wearing so much clothes to protect from the cold and air conditioning for the heat. So in this way, the materialist, he's just simply, his life practically is spent trying to remove these pinchings. Because, just imagine, everyone give you, I should actually do this to make it right, everyone should give the person next to them a big pinch. But the trouble with doing it that way is you make more enemies that way. You increase your adi Baltic miseries, like that. But you can just pinch yourself like about five times in a row, a little bit hard, and imagine like you're eating sweet rice or something, and these pinchings are going on continuously. And no matter how good the sweet rice is, because of the pinchings, you just can't enjoy it. So naturally, all your plans are to enjoy, so therefore your whole energy first has to be on stopping the pinching. So the materialist, he's got so many plans to enjoy, but first he thinks, I just have to get rid of a few of these pinchings. But those pinchings are sent by Krishna in the form of Maya Shakti, and they are too powerful to stop, so he never really gets around to enjoying. But the devotee perceives the pinchings in a different way. He sees them as Krishna, not as an obstacle to his enjoyment, but he sees them as Krishna, and he sees them as Krishna letting him know that the material world is no place for enjoyment, that he should go back home, back to Godhead, and not make any plans here. And as Prabhupada sums it up in that one sentence, that it was hard to figure out from the instructions whether it was an A or B, but the main problem confronting the conditioned soul is the repetition of birth, old age, disease, and death. Now, section B begins describing the hindrances to one who wants to taking shelter of the internal energy of the Lord, which ultimately is Srimati Radharani, the pleasure potency. And that is called Atyahara. This is the first one, over-collecting and overeating. Now, the key in understanding Atyahara is to focus one's consciousness on what the purpose of his life is and what he's doing. Food comes to us by our karma, and financial help comes to us by our karma, but the human being uses his intelligence, which is a gift simply given to a human being, to collect more and more and more and more and more, as if that collection is going to give him security. But one can actually not get more than his karma anyway, and one shouldn't use his intelligence in this way, because human intelligence is not meant to just eat, sleep, mate, and defend in a sophisticated way. Human intelligence should be directed from eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, and to making progress in spiritual life. Instead of scheming all day long, how am I going to make more money? How am I going to make my house more comfortable? How am I going to remove this obstacle from my enjoyment? Someone who's intelligent will just accept what happens as his karma in that regard for his eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, and uses intelligence continuously scheming how he's going to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. He should apply his intelligence to the Shastra in that way. Now, Prabhupada explains the basis of a very important point in our philosophy, simple living and high thinking. One should live simply, and our ideal lifestyle is an agrarian lifestyle out in the mode of goodness, in the countryside, in a farm area, and people should have a nice garden, and through that garden grow enough food to last him for the whole year. And he should have a cow and let that cow graze, and with that he should get milk. And with that milk, he should drink it after offering it. And not only that, he should make so many nice, palatable preparations, tasty, scrumptious preparations, and offer them to Krishna and eat them and be satisfied. With this simple eating solved, and having a simple dwelling, and if he's a householder, raising his family in this simple way, and somehow or another living his life, not accumulating too much, depending on Krishna, peacefully, in the mode of goodness, like that. And with any time he has left over, which should be a lot of time, He should chant Hare Krishna and use his intelligence thinking about cultivating his Krishna consciousness and philosophically. So that's the basic lifestyle of the Krishna consciousness movement. That one should be establish himself in maintaining his life simply and use his intelligence to make progress in Krishna consciousness. So to be collecting too much material facility takes away from the purpose of life, and it eats up one's intellectual energy. But unfortunately, although the result of this type of atyahara is city life and suffering and complete anxiety, and the result of living in the peaceful country in this simple way is peace and happiness and a happy belly, no one is interested in this simple living and high thinking. No one is interested in it. People would rather suffer in the city than be bored in the country. Right? Until they give all the cows to Krishna Baladev Prabhu and he has to take care of them all, because no one really wants to do this kind of thing. Now, human life, then Prabhupada begins to explain and proves the point from Shastra, that human life is simply meant for God realization. And this verse, one time someone asked Prabhupada, what is the most important verse in the Bhagavatam? And Prabhupada quoted this verse, Dharmasya yapavargasya narto arta upakalpate natasya dharmakantasya kamo lobhyahi smrita. Dharma is certainly meant for apavarga, or liberation. That is the purpose of religion. There is dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Or moksha, excuse me, kama, artha, dharma, and moksha. But human life is not meant for to satisfy one's material desires, or to be religious, or to gain wealth. It is meant for moksha, or liberation from the material world. Narto artha upakalpate, that means that na artha, it is not, dharma is not meant for material gain. It is meant for liberation, not material entanglement. I've seen, one time I was in Los Angeles and I saw a bumper sticker that said, God wants you to be happy. No, wants happiness. Something like that, happiness for you. And the S of happiness were made into dollar signs. And there it was, they had a telephone number that you should call if you wanted to join this particular church, which was going to make you happy according to the desire of God, and you're going to make your money. And that's what people usually go to God for. Not only for daily bread, but they want bigger and better things. They want money. And they pray. The tendency is to pray like that. So this is not what Krishna is meant for. It is like that story that Prabhupada tells of the lady who's walking. You see that in Vrindavan on the other side of the Prakram path. The village ladies carrying huge, huge bundles of sticks for firewood. Huge bundles, and they're so big that they can't lift them on their heads by themselves. It's not like you can pick it up and put it on. These skinny old ladies. So to put it on their head, they always get someone else to help them. And you see them doing this. So this lady was a devotee, and her bundle of wood fell off her head. And she said, "Oh, Krishna," with complete, full-hearted sincerity. She called, "Krishna, help! Come, I need your help!" And Krishna came. "What do you want? You have called me? Please, help me put this bundle on my head. I'm all alone. There's no one here who can help me." So that is, there's so many stories like that.
So you epitomize the verse, moon.
And
anyway, the Vrijabhasi mood or everyone's mood that they want money. Well, the other story is the man who's pulling the barge on the river, who's thinking, boy, if I only had 10 zillion crores of rupees, then I would put carpet on the side of the river so it doesn't hurt my feet stepping on the stones and twigs as I'm pulling the barge. How crazy! Because if he had 10 crores of rupees, what would be the need for him to pull the barge? He could retire in luxury. And when Krishna is standing there saying, what can I do for you? What is the use of having sticks put on one's head when one can ask him for anything he wants? So, that is not the artha upakalpate. Religion is not meant for material gain. Natasya dhammakantasya, one who is engaged in dharma, one who gets something from his dharma, from his religion, kamo labhya hi smrita, that one should not gain, use that gain for sense gratification. It's just meant for liberation. So, this is dharma. And once one is fixed in dharma, the purpose of life, then one should use his life properly. And that purpose in life is to develop his love of God. Now, there are materialistic religions. Prabhupada describes that on page 20. But these are useless practically. And Prabhupada explains in the first canto of the Bhagavatam that if one uses liberation for the purpose of gaining wealth, if he can find a better, easier way to gain wealth, he will give up his religion. And this, as Prabhupada explains, is just what's been happening today. And therefore, the churches, the synagogues, and the mosques are empty. So Prabhupada sums it up at the end of C, in the middle of 20, at the end of section B. Even though we require economic development, true religion allows it only for supplying the bare necessities of material existence. Jivasya tat vigyasa. The real purpose of life is to inquire about the absolute truth. If our endeavor, prayasa, is to not to inquire about the absolute truth, we will simply increase our endeavor to satisfy our artificial needs. A spiritual aspirant should avoid mundane endeavor. Well, that goes into prayasa. So we have to become fixed in what the purpose of our life is, and not over-endeavor for material things, and not over-collect. Live simply with what one needs, and be happy and chant Hare Krishna. One time, I went into Prabhupada's room at 26 Second Avenue. And somehow I snuck in. I was just a newcomer. And somehow I got in. And when everyone, they were talking, that was just when Kirtananda and Hayagriva had just come back. They had left the movement and they had just come back and they had New Vrindavan. And they were talking with Prabhupada about how to run New Vrindavan. And Prabhupada, they were asking, well, first should we get a very good cow, or should we get a bad cow at first? And Prabhupada said, medium. And we're talking about this and talking about that. And Umapati was also there. And Umapati said, Prabhupada, because everyone was sitting in his apartment at 26 Second Avenue, so Umapati said, this is just like the old days, Srila Prabhupada. This was in 68. 68 was already the new days. 66 was the old days. So Prabhupada's answer was, there are no old days in Krishna consciousness. And then everyone was leaving and I stayed last. And I said to Prabhupada, what can I do to serve you, Prabhupada?
And Prabhupada looked at me and said, take this Krishna consciousness and be happy. Jai. So that is what we should do. We should take Krishna consciousness and be happy, not worry, not over-collect. Take what Krishna gives us, live simply, and be happy. Okay, are there any questions on this?
What do you say the river bank was in Hindi?
Tat.
T-A-T.
Tatasta. Shakti. Huh? There's no way I could hear the difference or say the difference, but it's one of those. So tomorrow, outline and summarize the last two sections, C and D. And you can notice, as we mentioned before, that C and D, there's no titles of those. And this will complete the second verse. And take a few minutes to try and memorize some of the word by words, that because Shadvya Bhakti Vinashyati, these destroy bhakti. Over endeavoring and over collecting. Okay, let me just